Hello, everybody. It's Kateri.
And Owen and Kylock.
And welcome to Tarot Talk by the Soothsayers Tea. We're discussing the Chariot.
The Chariot.
The card of horses and wheels.
Horses and wheels. That should be the new tagline for this episode. Just no other context, just horses and wheels.
So there is a lot to say about this card.
Yes, there is.
So before we go in,
I'm going straight in. Let's go. What's before? Yeah.
So before we do get into it, so some keywords, of course: success, ambition, control, self-discipline, focus.
Stampeding horses.
Horses. You are going to buy a farm with horses on it.
Yes, this is exactly what the chariot actually means, that you are about to experience a time travel situation where you are going to go back in time and you are going to race in the Colosseum in Rome, a chariot. You will be the best chariot driver ever. Take all cards literally and at face value 100% of the time. And that is my piece. Good night. We've been the Soothsayers Tea.
See you, my son. No. So before we get into it, we do want to go back to the Fool's Journey and how the cards kind of land. So one thing that I find is that people, when they're learning tarot the first time, they get to the chariot. They're really excited because they're like, I'm getting this. And then they get to the strength card and they're like, I don't get this anymore. And the reason why we discussed this in the first episode, I can't remember if it's Tarot Talk or it was a feature episode, but basically
it was Tarot Talk, I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure, yeah. But the major arcana can be explained in kind of three different planes. So we got the conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. I actually found a aspect right here which makes a little more sense, which is actually the practical plane, the mental plane, and the spiritual plane. So that might be a little easier for people to
crazy that you said that, because I was literally about to say we can also call it, if it's easier to understand, physical, metaphysical, and spiritual. Hold on there a second. Moving on.
Yeah, either way. So when we're talking about the practical plane, so this is going to be the first seven cards, of course, outside the Fool, because the Fool is numberless. So we got from the one to the seven. So we have the Magician to the Chariot. And as you can see, there's kind of like, there is almost a bit of a bookend there. And we're going to discuss that when we get into it. But this is very much so physical things that we can do. And people can understand these cards because these are things that you actually come across in your physical life, right? So the chariot's kind of like the end of that, and again we're going to go into what it means a little bit here, but it basically means mastery. It means a physical mastery overall. And then we're going to be going into, of course, all these cards, hopefully definitely beyond the major arcana. We're going to go into the rest of them as well, but the mental plane is going to be almost a different conversation, because with these cards that we just discussed, it's very much so a physical state.
And the way that I sort of like to think of it is I tend to do a slightly non-traditional thing in my head, not in real life, where I will reorganize the cards. And so for me, it's actually the, the Magician to the Chariot is actually, I picture a bookshelf, and there's three shelves on this bookshelf, and on the top shelf of the bookshelf is Strength until Temperance. And that for me is what is the bottom layer. Even though it's on the top of the bookshelf. Don't worry about it. Just listen. The second shelf of the bookshelf is the outer layer. And that is sort of going to be the Magician until the Chariot. That is going to be the physical realm. And then the final shelf of the bookshelf is going to be the metaphysical realm. Metaphysical realm, where things are sort of outside of ourself. Because for me, I like to look at things like the earth itself. Okay, so like the earth's core is the sort of emotional, sort of the mental aspects, and that would be cards 8 until maths. Oh my god 21. No, yeah. 14. Yes. 8 until 14.
I was going to tell you, but I'm like, no, I'll let him struggle.
Anyway, me, a STEM major, 8 until 14 is the Earth's core. And then we get this sort of inner crust, and that is the physical realm. That is us. And then outside of that is space and That is the metaphysical. Now, yeah. That is a long, convoluted way of saying exactly what Kateri just said.
Yeah, which is practical, mental, and spiritual. So <Yep. laughs> if we want to go back to the chariot and again, how it connects, because when we do line up these cards and kind of like in three different rows there is still parallels between the chariot, the temperance, and the world. So when it comes to temperance, is that it's showing, again, a bit of a balance there, because to actually have mastery, you do have to be in control and have that balance and control. And then when it comes to the world is the end, the completion, right? And when you master something, and this is like very much so a concept of full mastery, then you can kind of move on to something else. So we're going to go back and just talk about horses and wheels right now, which is the chariot. So Traditionally, there wasn't actually a whole lot of details on it traditionally when it was created in the Rider-Waite-Smith. Pretty much the biggest things that you see is that they don't have any ropes to hold, in this case, the Sphinxes. But a lot of decks, it does show horses. There's black and white there, again, to show like the importance of balance, because as we discussed in our Divine Gender episode, tarot is very, very gendered in the sense of balance, not so much as wieners and vajayjays. It's just trying to show that concept of divine
gender versus human gender.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very much just showing like the divine balance of things, right? So you often see like a black and a white horses or sphinxes or whichever the sort, right? Usually, again, the charioteer does not have like a physical hold on them. They're so obedient that they're just going to listen anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's not in the same case like you would with the emperor, which is authority, which is almost forceful. This is mastery because they just want to obey because, again, this person has control.
This is absolutely uncontrolled directness. This person, the charioteer, or the person that the card represents, is so driven, sometimes even to the point of detriment, but they are the most driven person that you know. They are so, nothing else matters to them once they have their eyes set on a goal, and they will get to that goal, come hell or high water.
Yeah. There's another... in other decks, traditional decks, it has been referred to as Victory or the Centurion. Mm-hmm. So it's very much so that card that it kind of finishes off this chapter of the story of the Major Arcana. And some of the interesting parallels, because you do see some overlaps with the Magician. The Magician definitely has a concept of dominion over willpower, while this is dominion over mastery. And they can kind of overlap a little bit, because although the Magician has a natural talent, the Chariot is very much so tried and true. It's very it's very practiced mastery. This is someone that has done it a million times, while the Magician is still fucking around and finding out.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the Magician will get where they want to go and they are dependable as a person, but the chariot taught the Magician. Like, they didn't actually, like, this isn't like a thing that happened, but like, that is sort of how I will view it. Like, I would view the Chariot as the person that the Magician would go to like pick themselves up and sort of guide them in the right direction.
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I would say that the Chariot is the individual that the Magician wants to be. That's like their goals. End goal. They would look at that and be like, goals. That's the chariot for the Magician and everything else. And this is kind of showing a pinnacle of going back to the Lovers, because again, you're going to see that progression of the story. The Lovers there is that first concept of choice and unity and coming together and making your first independent choice, while the Chariot is mastering that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next card, Strength, is indicating a level of fortitude that comes from mastering things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing a lot, especially like where we start to see people struggle, is they will look at the Strength card after doing so well, and they will look at it and they will go, inner strength. And they won't so much, they'll sort of lose the story a little bit. They'll lose the plot of the Fool's Journey and get a little bit lost and confused. And that is okay. That is why we are here as your masters and cult leaders to help you.
Exactly. And we'll definitely, of course, we're going to go into strength next. But strength is definitely, I prefer the term fortitude over strength, because I feel like it's a little more accurate. But again, we can go into that next episode. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, we said a lot of things about mastery about the card, which is interesting because this is actually when it comes up for me. It usually indicates get off your ass and go do it. Get into your car and run something over. It's mm-hmm. very, it's a forceful card.
The Chariot is telling you to kill your ex-boyfriend.
They are. We do not. just for the legal reasons, that's a joke. But yeah, no, it's very much so a card of self-control and it's very forceful. Just the nature of it being a charioteer and basically moving things forward, they will run things over for better or for worse.
Yeah, they aren't necessarily someone that, like, there's someone that you can depend on to get the job done, but not necessarily someone that will get it done in the way that you want it to be done. They will get it done in the most efficient, best possible way on their terms. They're not really going to be open to compromising.
Yeah, and their terms are usually fast. I think this is probably the fastest card in the Major Arcana.
Yeah. This is speed.
Yeah, if Mercury / Hermes was a card, it would be this one.
Mm-hmm. This is stampeding horses.
Yeah, this is horses and wheels. Mm-hmm. And I think that when it comes up for me, it's either going to come up for two different reasons, again, in context with the other cards. It's either mm-hmm. going to be you have control, or people better fucking move because you're going to run them over and you have every right to do so.
Yeah, and for me, it's sort of similar. Once again, we've talked about this before, like our difference in clients and like who will come to us and what stages in their lives. Most people, when they come to me, they are a little bit usually in formal education, starting formal education, thinking going back to education. And for me, sometimes the Chariot can mean something to aspire to, and it's sort of a lot of the time for me the Chariot is the next step in someone's journey and less so where they are right now, and it's sort of telling them to sort of get up off their bum and sort of get shit done. I pull the Chariot a lot for myself because I do not get shit done. Yeah. I will take the most compromised and like misleading route possible to the end goal so I don't bother someone, and that is obviously not the best way to go about things. And so, a little bit of insight about me. I need to become the Chariot.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting card because although it does bookend like the practical plane, the conscious like aspect of the Major Arcana, mm-hmm. it's still really early. It's still a fresh card, right? Yeah. I would, anytime I see this as an individual, I don't see them as like necessarily a wise individual. It's just somebody who's just very, very, very good at what they do. Mm-hmm. They have a natural talent. It's funny enough that I don't get too much into like the numerology portion of tarot personally, although I'm very open for learning. It is number 7. It's lucky number 7. So this is definitely a card that is of triumph and winning.
Yeah.
Right.
And that parallels and stuff as well, but like the other, what you were saying about the other traditional decks sometimes calling it victory, because it very much is victorious card. It's a very, if this is a card that you pull for yourself, honestly, good for you. I want to be you. like, yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a really nice card. And I think that, and again, that's also going to come down to your personality type. I don't know if you can tell with me and Owen, but we kind of have horns on us and we're not afraid to stick those horns in places. Mm-hmm. So I think that for somebody who might be a little softer, this might be a more intimidating card by all means, because it's aggressive, but not in a, like, it's not in a damaging way. It's aggressive as in like, I'm just going to go do this. Bye.
Yeah.
And
that's it really. Like it's also like, as much as we talk about the nuances of tarot and like all of the deep meaningful things that these cards can mean, the Chariot is kind of simple in that way, in that it represents directness so much that it itself lacks a little bit of nuance in that way, and that it is so direct.
Yeah. And I think the reason why it's kind of, it is a calm card though, and it's not like, it's not aggressive like some other really kind of bombastic cards, because it's not the Emperor. Yeah, the Emperor is like nasty, because we have, if we want to look at some parallels between like Zodiac as well, as like the Emperor is Aries, which is going to be flaming hot, while mm-hmm. the Chariot is actually more associated with Cancer. And I'm going to bring this up during some of our pop culture references here, and how I link it to Cancer, and how, although it's very aggressive, it's also very calm and controlled. Because control is the biggest thing here. And when I say control, it's not like, again, the Emperor level of control, which is like, I'm going to control you. But it's control as in like,
it's riding a horse. It's in control, but it's not controlling.
Yeah. It's very much so. I do really like The Chariot. Although when it comes up, I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, it shows that I have to actually, you know, put an effort, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not a lazy card. If there's anything, even when it's, again, I don't do reversals, but even if when it's reverse, it never indicates laziness. It usually just indicates like, oh, somebody's going to get killed under these friggin' wheels.
Yeah. For me, like when I would read the sort of reversal of The Chariot, it would be because there's too much of The Chariot in them. And like with me, when I pull The Chariot in reverse, it usually also comes up with the Emperor. And that is when they cross the line of being in control to controlling, and they sort of regress back into that more egotistical, powerful, power-seeking, I should say, self.
Yeah, it becomes very, very hyper, hyper destructive and aggressive. But I'm just, the only reason why I brought that up, again, because I don't read reversals personally, I just wanted to make it very clear, there is no case of this card being lazy.
Yeah. Nothing to add, just yeah.
Yeah, this is not a lazy card in any way, shape, or form. So it's funny because I feel like we're only like a little bit into this episode, but I feel like we've already said everything we needed to say about The Chariot, because it's really, honestly, a lot of cards have these nuances. The Chariot really doesn't. I think the nuance that's there is that it can be, again, aggressive and scary and kind of run you over. But for us personally, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing because of our personality types. I think if somebody was a little like gentler and softer, they'd be like, oh, well, maybe this, and they would have a lot more to say of it. But we're just like, yeah, nah, Brad's good.
Yeah, this is our downfall is The Chariot.
Yeah, our downfall. We're just like, we have no beef with this one. It's good.
this one's chill. This one can come to the party. But yeah, I mean, let's move on to pop culture connections then, I think, because honestly, I've got nothing else to say about The Chariot. We, like, being The Chariot myself in this way, I am being very direct. And as we've been saying, there really just aren't that many nuances to it. It's a very simple, plain card, which is insane because it's Major Arcana. But this is like the, not necessarily in terms of correspondences, but in terms of learning tarot, The Chariot is like a nice warm hug after the awful influences and nuances of all the previous cards that you've had to like look at, and look at all the symbology and all of the like possible meanings it could have. It's The Chariot. It's just a nice little break. It's a little rest before you go into the insanity that is the mental plane of tarot.
Yes. It's a very confident card. Like, this is confident, not in a brash way, because it's not arrogant. It's very, very confident. It's like, imagine like when you go to a party and like some like hot guy shows up on his motorcycle and he's looking like so fucking cool, and you're just like, man, you're a badass. And he's like, whatever, it's just what I do. And you're like, dude, you're fucking cool, right? And then he just doesn't believe it because he's like, oh, it's just my normal, right?
Yeah, that's this is just who I am.
Yeah, this but is who not, I am. Yeah.
It's not even like it's not in a way that's like, oh yeah, this is just like who I am. It's like, yeah, I mean, I'm just like this. Like, this is just who I am. It's kind of like it's a chill confidence.
Yeah, he's very much so like, oh, like, don't make a big deal about it, guys. Like, honestly, like, hey, I can teach you how to do this if you really want. It's easy when he's like, doing like friggin' wheelies on his like $3,000
BMX scooter. I think we're learning a lot about Kateri's type in men right now.
Maybe a little bit.
I'd like to be put on the record.
I like those cool, calm types.
Anyway, speaking of cool, calm types, I know that you haven't watched Heartstopper, but I am hoping and begging that some of our listeners have, because I need somebody to talk to about it. I'm currently talking about it with this little guy who's okay, I'm talking about it with a couple friends in my life right now, and it's not enough. I need to talk about Heartstopper, guys. It's so good.
I will do it for your sake. I will do it for your sake.
But for those of you who don't know, Heartstopper is a webcomic that has recently been made into a Netflix series. 8 episodes, 27 minutes long each. You will binge it in one session, I promise you. The first episode is awfully cringy and will make you go when you look at it. But then, like, you'll sort of get more into the mindset and you'll be like, this is so wholesome, I'm gonna cry, these little guys. But basically, it's the story of Nick Nelson and Charlie Spring, Charlie Spring, they are both around 14, 15, I think, and they're just little gays in real life. I mean, obviously, Nick is actually not gay, he's bi, that's besides the point. It's gay adjacent, and he's sort of, it's a gay love story in that sense. It's an MLM love story, and they both, Charlie Spring and Nick Nelson, are both very different people, and when Nick and Charlie sort of meet each other, Nick's like, maybe I do like boys, but he doesn't antagonize over it. Nick is very much sort of like, okay, well, I guess this is it now. I guess I'm bi. Like, yes, of course, there's that self-doubt. There's a little bit of, like, lack in confidence and that fear, especially the fear of sort of coming out. But it's very much Nick wants to be with Charlie and is willing to do whatever it takes to get there. Like, Nick doesn't really care about the outside influences. Nick is just going to get to that point. He wants to be in that cute little gay little relationship with Charlie Spring, and it's so cute. I'm not joking. You all need to watch it right now and tweet me about it, because I'm losing my mind. It's so cute.
I love how, like, you just use this opportunity to be like, okay, let me tell you about the next thing I'm obsessed with.
No, literally, because I texted my good dear friend who is also obsessed with it, and I was like, I'm about to record an episode of the podcast, and watch me literally just talk about Heartstopper for like 20 minutes straight. But I won't. I'll refrain. I won't spoil anything more than I already have.
That's amazing.
Just watch this show, please.
I have a very, very boring pop culture connection, which is actually funny because I kind of really kind of made that like kind of parallel just a little bit earlier. I'm just going to set the expectation. I don't care for racing or anything of the sort, but it's the first thing that came to my mind because it's very, very much so a connection. An F1 driver, like anybody that has those crazy little like dinky cars and they cram their body into it and they go super fucking fast and they don't die somehow. That for me is very much so a connection there because they're very confidently controlling this death trap of a fucking machine, and they're so almost casual about it. And I don't, again, I can't name any one particular driver because I don't watch it, but anytime it comes up on television, the first thing I think of is the Chariot card, because yeah, that's an example of, again, that's not God-given talent. When I say God or whatever you want, but anyway, it's not God's given talent. That is like mastery over something, and it's something that they've worked towards. It's constant, mm-hmm, constant working. I would say almost any type of like athlete to a certain extent would fit this.
Yeah, absolutely. And as well, like with F1 driving, this just sort of came to my mind. There's also a very literal correspondence between like the charioteer and an F1 driver, because like sort of Formula One racing is sort of modern day chariot racing.
Oh, 100%.
And yeah, like there's also a very literal connection there. Like I think that's a very good connection, as boring as it may be, because it doesn't have a little gay love story.
No, it's not as gay. Well, it could be. I don't know what they do in the first life. But
I don't know what goes on in those little cars.
Yeah, it's very tight in there. No, but like honestly, it's one of those things that it's, like you said, it's modern day, right? And it's so interesting just what they're almost possessed to do, to throw themselves into that one thing and just absolutely physically control it to the point of almost absolute insanity. And like I said, with the magician, I would never consider a magician kind of in this type of position, because the magician would be too busy being a pussy about it because they're too busy trying to figure stuff out still.
That's a hilarious, hilarious way to put that. And I would fully agree. Another like just amazing pop culture connection, because by now I think every card we've talked about, I've brought up a Grey's Anatomy reference. You all know that I'm obsessed with Grey's Anatomy. And part of this obsession is Dr. Christina Yang. And I know Kateri doesn't know who the fuck that is.
I know, I'm sorry.
If you're listening and you do know who that is, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, in that Christina, at least like Christina, definitely Christina in season one, obviously as Christina sort of develops as a character, she can't just constantly be this driven, insane, like surgeon, she also has to have an emotional arc. But definitely in season one, where Christina's only sort of goal is being the best surgeon, getting the placement that she wants and doing what she wants to do and like get it, like getting where she wants to be, however she gets there. She is a little bit mean sometimes. She steps on people, but she isn't doing it because she's not doing it maliciously. She's doing it to get ahead. It's very much putting herself first and driving herself forward to where she wants to be.
Yeah, I would have to agree out of ignorance. I'm like, yes. I'm like, that sounds right for that character. That character is 100% that. That's basically my input on that one.
Yeah.
So if we want to go into our Disney canon here, or our Disneyverse, I did have Thor here, but honestly, I think the F1 driver connection is probably a lot stronger. So I'm actually not even going to get into Thor, but somewhat Thor, I guess. But honestly, Mace Windu from Star Wars is an example for that, because
nerd.
And the reason why I bring that up, because it took me a moment to kind of get a character, because again, the Chariot's a lot more of an action at times. And although they are a character, there's a lot more nuance than just being good at something, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But Mace Windu would probably be a good example, because everything he does is with a little bit of force. He's a little my way or the highway, but he's respected, right? There's a lot of stuff that he's done that was correct, but nobody listened to him, and they probably should have listened to him. And there's, again, you don't know a whole lot about Star Wars, but in this concept, this area of Star Wars, when everything was like a Senate and a council and everything, basically he would just do things and it would always be for the best, right? And the thing is that nothing would have went downhill if everybody just actually listened to him. And it's not because he was necessarily like wiser or smarter, it's because the rest of the Jedi Council just didn't want to do anything. They were too busy just kind of, they wanted to talk it all over, and they were considering about all the consequences of everything. And that's why everything fell apart, because they were just being useless. Mace was probably the one that was the least useless on anything, because at least he was willing to get things done. And he was, and again, for some people that might be like, you know what, but he actually stopped people from doing things. I'm like, yeah, but it's fucking Anakin, and it's Anakin. And you shouldn't have Anakin doing anything, because it's Anakin.
So. I am so incredibly lost right now, but
There's somebody who's getting this.
Someone out there is understanding what you're saying, and honestly, good for them.
So at the end of the day, it's just that to a certain extent, the Chariot can also be like an unstoppable force, or something that it can be almost a wall too, right? Like, it's a very stubborn card in the best way. And I think Mace really kind of shows that in like that side of it, that's kind of like stubborn in the best way.
Once again, agreeing out of ignorance, but sounds like you know what you're talking about. So I will go with it.
Sounds correct.
Yes. Well, yeah, I have nothing more to add. I've said my piece. I've gotten on my soapbox.
We've done our thing. This is a great episode. I enjoyed this.
Everyone stream Heartstopper on Netflix and go look at the webtoon on webcomics. Webcomics on webtoon. Not sponsored, but like, you will listen to me. You need to do this for your mental health and for your spiritual health and for your physical health. You need to watch this. You need to become. You need to listen to me right now and understand that the insanity that I am perpetuating is the result of this. And if you want to be like me, do it.
Listen just to your cult leader.
Listen to your cult leader.
Listen to Parent Owen and go read/watch now.
Yes, I did both. I think the series came out like 3 or 4 days ago. I've watched it. I've binge watched the entire series for like 3 days in a row. And as unhealthy as that may be, I simply do not care, because I'm just sitting here with little hearts in my eyes going, wah! This is so representative of my experience.
Is it really unhealthy if you're happy?
I mean, yeah.
Don't answer that question.
That's the thing. I'm going to stick with that logic, and I'm going to run with it as I binge watch it again tonight.
So with that being said, my name's Kateri. You can find me at vinoxus.net, or honestly, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. You can find me in the link tree. Honestly, if you want to get a hold of me, I am Vinoxus on Twitter. No, sorry. Fuck Twitter. No, sorry. I just looked over and I saw Twitter and I said it and I'm like, no, no. All right. Let's rephrase. You'll find me on Vinoxus on Instagram. That is my stomping ground, because fuck Twitter. You'll see me on Twitter. You won't actually see me on Twitter because I'm not on her. I also run the Soothsayers Tea Instagram. That's unfortunately all me. And if you want a reading, feel free to reach out to me.
Yeah, and pay them. For me... For me, don't ask people for free readings. Oh my god. That's going to be a future episode, but Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah, no, I should phrase very clearly. You have to pay me.
Yeah.
You do have to pay me.
Yes.
I'm a professional.
For me, I have been Owen O'Kylock. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, where I am currently taking a little bit of a hiatus. However, you can still find me running the Soothsayers Tea Twitter, which is at Soothsayers_tea. And all of our links and everything will be below. I also sell tarot readings, but not right now.
Leave him alone. He's
Leave
scared.
Me be. I'm terrified. Listen, if you want to hear me or listen to my thoughts, listen to this podcast. There we go.
Yes, there you
This
go.
Is where I'm active right now. My social media is Spotify.
He's in his egg pod. He is rejuvenating himself for the ascension to 8D or 8.5. Or whatever it is. So let him be in his pod, so when he comes out of his pod, he can crush the world with his iron boot.
I thought you said boob, and I was like, yeah, my iron boob.
That too.
And on that note, I have been Owen O'Kylock and his iron boob.
why are we on the internet? God, why do people listen to us?
This is insane.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.